Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Plenty to get into on the Yankee front as well. Anthony Volpe now going to be officially a Yankee on opening day at 21 years old, the youngest to start a season with the Yankees since Derek Jeter, and a lot of comparisons already there. Get into that. Julius Randle speaks finally after all the issues from last week. You'll hear from Julius Randle from this morning's shoot-around. But let's keep the conversation going right now on the football side of things, because it's a big story. If you're just joining us, Lamar Jackson puts out a tweet this morning that said that he had requested a trade from the Ravens from back on March 2nd, and he remains in limbo as they have a contract impasse going on. He has not signed the franchise tag either. So we wait and see what happens there. But with that in mind, from a New York perspective, the Jets also still waiting to get a deal done with Aaron Rodgers. And Bart and I are on opposite sides. Bart said, hypothetically, if Lamar Jackson is available to you as the Jets, then you have to look into it. He'd be a better fit immediately. And I say I would go with Aaron Rodgers for the various reasons I brought up in the previous hour. Let's see if somebody can maybe split between us on this. And so let's bring in Teddy Bruschi, who joins us right now, our ESPN NFL insider.
And don't rephrase the question to T. Breezy.
No.
Don't
I want him to break the tie.
Hey, Teddy, he has this thing like where he wants to get it, you know, slided towards him. He asks the question slightly different, and he puts in all these other intangibles and things that have absolutely nothing to do with the question.
It's just vocabulary. Don't be afraid of it.
Listen, I got a social degree. That's the best I can do.
But Teddy, let's play the hypothetical game first before we really analyze everything going on in Baltimore. If you're the Jets and now you see this, do you say to Aaron Rodgers, hey, we're just going to take a look, it could be good leverage for us? Or are you kind of quietly looking into it, or do you stay out of it completely because you've already made your choice in where you want to go next?
No, you don't need to tell Aaron Rodgers anything, but I mean, you have to have contingency plans if this doesn't work out. I mean, obviously, it's not the plan that they wanted. You see the plan they've sculpted by bringing in Hackett, bringing in Lazard. This has been all about Aaron Rodgers. But if Lamar is there, you still have to know that if this falls through, is this a possibility we need to entertain? Absolutely. That's only business, and that's all it is. I would prefer Aaron Rodgers going to New York for them, for their sake, because that is what they have sculpted to have the plan be executed, to have Aaron with Hackett and Lazard and Wilson and those type of guys. Lamar's not, I mean, he's a close right there, 1 and 1A, in my opinion. So, I mean, the Jets have options. I'll give them that.
See, so Teddy, you kind of answered our question without Allen really asking it the right way. The question is, despite the compensation, whatever it is,
who would you rather have?
Who is better for them to take to maybe win a Super Bowl this year, Lamar Jackson or Aaron Rodgers? And my answer was Lamar Jackson, and I'll explain why. You be the judge after the explanations. My reason was we've seen Lamar Jackson, you know, throw for 32 touchdowns without having the weapons even close to Garrett Wilson, Allen Lazard, and who else they got? That's it. All right. And Breece Hall.
Mecole Hardman. They got
and yeah, him. Mecole Hardman. And because you as a linebacker understands what Lamar Jackson does, much like what Michael Vick did, whether he's carrying the ball or not, the run game is going to be elite because that backside defensive end and linebacker is in a pickle. If I get caught by either slanting down on the backside and he keeps it, it could be barbecue chicken at every aspect. Now, is Aaron Rodgers maybe a better fit for this system? Yes. But I believe that Lamar Jackson at this point is a better player. And I know they're saying a lot about a player that just came from MVP less than 400 days ago. But Lamar Jackson, I believe with these type of weapons, I think would be a better fit schematically because of the other thing that he can do that Rodgers can't do.
Okay. Well, I disagree with you, Bart.
It's not the first
Thank
time.
You.
I'm going to go Aaron Rodgers.
Thank you.
I'm going Aaron Rodgers because of, okay, all of those, I can talk about the resume and who the player is and all that stuff. I think you're getting a highly motivated Aaron Rodgers for this first year. This first year, to prove the Packers wrong, to go out there, and it's a new, refreshing, energetic challenge for him that is, I think is exactly what he needs. I think he got bored in Green Bay. I mean, he got bored with having to deal with the same people, seeing the guys leave and them being disrespected. Now he's that same guy, and now you see how the table is just set for them, for him in New York to play for the Jets. And also, these Packers, they're trying to get so much for him. They're motivating him even more now. They're pissing him off even more just so he wants to just go out there and prove him wrong again. That's the Aaron Rodgers I want for this year. Because now, who he's going to be next year, I don't know. But if the question is to win the Super Bowl this year, I'm going to go with Aaron Rodgers.
See, that, and that's on all the arguments, Teddy. That's where I was. It was, to me, I look at Aaron Rodgers as a short-term fix that also could have a long-term impact. Because let's not forget that Zach Wilson, your number two pick from 2 years ago, is still on the roster. They have a relationship already. So it's not like the Jordan Love thing where maybe he just doesn't want to deal with him. He's actually kind of mentored him, sending him texts and talking to him over the last 2 years. So what you anticipate is not only do you get high-quality quarterback play, which, as you know, from my perspective as a Jets fan, we don't really get a lot of that around here. And also, yeah, you get a mentor that could now set up the future of that quarterback position if he doesn't play beyond a year or two. And by osmosis, yeah, Zach Wilson should just get that better, right? Like, so I think it's a better scenario.
Yeah, I agree with everything you said. And that's what these moves seem to be. There seems just to be a burst of it. Like Stafford for a year, and then now who knows what he is now. Is he washed up? I mean, Brady came in and gave him good play, and they won a championship, and then it faded off. I think that's probably what's going to happen with Aaron. He'll go in there fresh and new and energized, and then hopefully, you know, Zach sees that, and he's able to pick that up for when he's on his way out, possibly the second year.
We're talking with Teddy Bruschi. We're talking, obviously, about the Lamar Jackson tweets today, but also just the impact on the Jets. And with that in mind, Teddy, and obviously, again, you know the AFC East. You understand how things have gone over the majority of the last 20 years. But right now, it does feel like a shift is going on in this division. So we assume Rodgers to the Jets. It looks like Tua stays with the Dolphins. We know what Buffalo has. What do you see this division shaping up to be when we begin the season next year?
Yeah, highly competitive. My Patriots on the bottom right now, looking up to a Dolphin team, a Jet team with Aaron Rodgers, and then the Bills, of course. That's the way it's going to be. I still think the Bills are the cream of the crop there. I mean, I think these Jets can do special things with Aaron. I love their defense, of course. But, I mean, if they're able to keep that number 13 overall pick, I believe it is, who knows what they can do with that? I mean, they're hot in drafting. They got the offensive and defensive rookie of the year last year. Boom, if Douglas gets a good one out there, that 13th pick, they are rolling. So the Jets fans are about to be in an arena, in sort of a conversation that they haven't been in a long time. And it's, it is exciting. It should be exciting for New York, absolutely.
Teddy, a lot of people don't realize that pick, when you go to that old chart that all the general managers have, that pick 42nd and 43 equates to pick 17. So, I think that the Jets, moved Elijah Moore, who I think would have flourished in this system, and got a player that's a little less unproven. Mecole Hardman hasn't been healthy, but I believe that, those two picks can go to the Green Bay, and it can be moved and moved up to a first-round draft pick. So that's their first-round compensation. But it's actually better for the Jets if Green Bay continues to stall, because after the draft, then that means that they can have, the 13th pick and also 42nd and 43rd, or the Jets themselves, who have moved up to get Vera Tucker, who have moved up to get players, can move up and continue to stay hot, because we know that a great player is going to probably drop, and the teams at the bottom of the draft usually have pretty good rosters and don't mind moving back a couple pieces for more picks, because they need as many cheap players as they can, because usually they've given a lot of guys the bag.
Right, because I mean, the second part of the offseason where teams actually tell the truth is coming up. Because, they got the owners' meetings, they got the combines with their press conferences. Those are all lies. They don't tell the truth. But free agency is the first time when they tell the
truth.
He's
very sensitive.
By their actions about saying, this is who we want, this is who we're signing, and this is who we're getting rid of. Free agency. There it goes, okay? That's truth. The draft is the second part. Barton, you're absolutely right. That's when this trade probably will be done because, the Jets will either make their picks or they got to give them up to get Aaron. That's the second part of when the truth is going to be told, and I think that's where it's going to be.
Now, you have a very unique perspective with the Patriots organization. And right now, when you look at the landscape and you look at, the division, you would probably think that maybe if Aaron Rodgers comes here that they would maybe have the fourth best quarterback. And it's not a lot of talent. Losing McCourty, I think, is going to be big because he's one of those generals. Like when you left, it's hard to replace. Yeah. Mayo tried to replace you, and he did a good job. But at what point, do the Patriots have to do something drastic to try and get back on top? Now, I don't think that Bill would pull the trigger and try and trade for Lamar Jackson. That's just not in his makeup. But at what point, if the Patriots continue to lose ground on this division, that one, you consider maybe Bill moving up to the upper office and getting more of a Bruce Arians type of role, or doing something drastic as far as going all in? I thought he tried to go all in with when he made the trade and try going the Wayback Machine when he brought in Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And he spent a lot of money, and that just didn't work out. What do you think the state of the Patriots, state of a union address, so to speak, and their future if this season doesn't go as expected?
Yeah, if they fail again, Bart, I mean, they've really got to start looking in the mirror. What they're really counting on, in my opinion, is Mac to become who they think he can become. And not only, I mean, does it help with him having more structure through a coaching staff and bringing in Bill O'Brien as the offensive coordinator? Because I just know how it was last year with the confusion of Mac, and it's like, okay, there's one coach, there's two coaches, and then Coach Belichick is also putting in his 2 cents. Right now, Bill O'Brien's in there, and he can give Bill the Heisman and say, just back up, let me do my job, I got this. I don't know how much was going on about that last year, and Bill kept on, if you will, just meddling in terms of, here's another idea, go make it happen. Here's another idea, go make it happen. And that makes it entirely confusing for players and even coaches when you've got a plan and then the head man thinks something else should be done. So that's all going to end. Mac's going to have more consistency now. I would argue, is Mac the fourth versus a Tua who can miss 5 games by the way he falls down?
Well, I'm assuming that everybody's healthy. I didn't want to injure a player.
Everybody's healthy. I'm with you there. But this is now a change with – I mean, now Hightower did retire, but he didn't play last year. McCourty's gone. Here's the mistake that Bill made last year. I thought he overestimated the player's ability to handle that type of coaching change. He didn't have players on the offensive side of the ball to say, this guy is this guy is that. This is what he's trying to do. And even check the coaches when you say, wait a second, that's wrong. That's not the way it should be. That sort of veteran presence wasn't there. That leadership presence on the offensive side wasn't there. And Mac, I don't know if it was in a place to take over a meeting room. Maybe he is now.
Mm.
And with Bill O'Brien, I think that'll be better. But right now, I mean, they will be struggling to play meaningful games in December based on who they have within that division. It's going to be tough.
Yeah, it's amazing to think how things have flipped so quickly. So all eyes are going to be on in New England to see how they start that season and then where it goes from there, especially with Mac Jones, the young guy, as the quarterback, with the quarterback scenario.
Yeah, here's what Bill doesn't want. Bill doesn't want this, okay? If they were to lose, all the attention is going to go here. When you're going to pass Shula? Is it going to be this? Is it going to be next year? It's just a countdown now to when he can achieve that because winning is out of the question.
Hmm.
When winning's out of the question, that's where all the attention is going to go. And that's the last thing Belichick wants, but that's where we will all go because the countdown probably should be starting at the end of this year. But, that's what he doesn't want, because that's a lot of talk of conversation now around New England about is when that Shula mark is coming to pass in the all-time wins mark.
Greg Popovich with the Spurs went through the same thing. They weren't good anymore. They weren't competitive anymore. It all became about his chase for it. It almost felt like he was like begrudgingly doing it, because for him it was really more about, no, I don't care about that. We should be focusing on winning championships like we used to do. So, yeah, that's an interesting perspective on things that could go on in New England. Teddy, always great to catch up with you. Thanks so much for the time and the insight, as always.
Sure, fellas. Take care.
All right.
You need a hair product endorsement.
Yeah, right? He's got some of the best hair on
TV. Yeah, the bangs are looking extra shiny today.
Seriously.
Almost like Who's the Boss, Tony Danza.
You put him and Field Yates on the same show? I mean, that's some serious hair product, and just that's a good look all around. Thank you, Teddy.
I appreciate it, buddy. Good team.
Yes, sir. All right, Teddy Bruschi. Again, a lot of truth right now about New England as well as this division. Really interesting. And by the way, just for the record, took my side. Aaron Rodgers took my side.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Everybody out there.
I know who you're talking about. I know who Kendra is.
Yeah, so everybody out there, Google. She used to be married to Hank Bassett, who, you know, later, you know, we didn't know if he was like Felix Johnson, but it was done, you know.
Yeah, right.
I think she called him being Felix Johnson.
Okay.
But anyway, but do yourself a favor. Go ahead and watch that clip. It'll make you smile.
You know what else makes you smile? Down by the garden, there's a new billboard display. There's two of them.
Two?
And I mean, we're talking about like six stories high.
What?
Of SZA.
Oh, yeah. She thick.
And she's literally, I've never, a billboard this big, and she's just wearing underwear.
Yeah, she thick like organic peanut butter. Not that other stuff where they put oil in, or organic peanut butter.
It's the chunky style. I'm just gonna say
the one that cut your bread up. If you ain't got a good butter knife, like you know, you ever had that chunky?
It rips your bread up.
Yeah, you ever had it, and it roll up, and it look like now you got a pecan roll. You know what I'm saying? That's how thick she is. You gotta put it in a different spot. And you gotta press it down like with a spoon. Like you can't spread it. You spread it, it's gonna tear your bread up.
I'm just telling you that if you're walking down 7th Avenue.
Take a picture next
time. You're walking up 7th Avenue.
Take a picture for us.
I might send it to you later. Yeah. Just, you got to watch traffic. Don't cross the street.
She just had a baby, too.
It looks good. I'm just going to leave it there. It looks good. All right, lots to get to, but I do want to mention again, Steve Miller Band. You know, tick, tock, tick, do, 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 do. You know the song. You know it. You know it. Trust me. They're coming to Northwell Health at Jones Beach Theater Saturday, July 1st. Keep it locked in for your chance to score a pair of tickets. Keep it locked in right here, of course. It's all from Live Nation. Tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. We got a lot to get to, Bart Scott. So let's let the headline makers do the talking in the segment we like to call
Audio File.
The Audio File.
Shall we begin? Let's see. Let's start with this. We'll get back into this in the 2 o'clock hour. So remember Thursday. So the Knicks play tonight against the Rockets. They have not played since Thursday in Orlando. That was a bad loss. They had the weekend off to kind of just decompress from a bad loss. They didn't lose any ground in the standings. In fact, they are closing in on at least locking up a top six spot in the East. And a win tonight against the Rockets would help. They're tonight at the Garden. And we have full coverage beginning at 7 o'clock right here on ESPN. 98.7 ESPN. But Julius Randle hasn't spoken since before that game. Whereas during that game, as everybody remembers, he got into it with Emmanuel Quickley at halftime. Quickley was trying to hold him back from a ref, from getting a tech. And then he got in Quickley's face. He didn't speak after that game. He didn't speak at any of the practices over the weekend. But this morning at shoot-around, the media finally got access to him. And here's Ian Begley of SNY asking him about how things went in a conversation about, what did you clear things up with Quickley? Where are you guys at right now? And the question is longer than the answer, which tells you everything you need to know.
Emmanuel, I think, was asked on the road about the halftime. You know, he was trying to calm me down, and you weren't calming down. And he said, it's just sports. It's pro sports, and it happens, and that's it. Do you see it the same way, or do you go to him later and say, hey, you know, I'm sorry for yelling at you and not calming down when you were trying to calm me down, or you just move on, and that's it?
I mean, what happens within our team is, you know, happens within our team. So, you know, I'm not going to speak on specifics of how we handle things. But at the end of the day, we're a team, we're good, and we just focus on winning.
What do you think of that answer, Bart? Was that sufficient for you?
Not really.
What happens with our team stays within our team.
It's different, but when you do something, it's like when you comment on somebody's business, and I'm like, well, why are you all in my business? Because you made it public by doing it in public. So you showed up and showed out public, and I think it'll make the kid feel better if you truly are sympathetic or apologetic about what you did, showing him up, making him look like a fool where he has to answer questions, and it's not the first time. You did it publicly. How about you just say, hey, man, listen, I got to be better. I'm the leader. I can't lose my composure because attitude reflects leadership, and if I'm supposed to be the leadership, I got to make sure that when everybody else wants to go crazy, I'm the calming presence, and I got to work on that. I apologize to Quickley, man. That's my guy. He was doing the right thing, and that's what teammates are supposed to do, and I'm sorry. And, you know, I hope we're good, but the only time that I think I can live my apology is if when I'm upset again and a teammate come, I accept that coaching from my teammate, and I show that I've grown. Simple as that. Then nobody can say nothing. They got to shut it up. Instead, now we're going to ask again.
Yeah.
Instead, they're going to go back too quickly.
And oh, by the way, we will be watching tonight to see how they interact on the court and see what happens. And it, as I said on Friday after that incident, like this is one thing how fans feel about you.
Yeah.
But how your teammates feel about you is a bigger deal. And if you aren't taking care of business right now, you're not going to just derail a season that had a lot of potential. You might derail your relationship in that locker room with some people who aren't going anywhere.
Now, I know it's not Honeycrisp to green apples.
All right.
But, you know what I'm saying, it's kind of similar, right? Honeycrisp to green apples, they're both apples, but they're different kinds. Jordan Poole, Draymond Green,
literally punched him.
Yeah, but I'm saying, is it in the same category, maybe not as serious, but can have the same effect? Because we see the chemistry between them seems off. It never seems like that relationship is what it used to be, where he looked at Draymond like a big bro.
I don't know, because Jordan Poole and Draymond Green won a championship together.
Mm-hmm.
So you have that in your
better
history.
Bond. You had a better bond.
Yeah. So, like I said, let's see tonight. Mm-hmm. Let's see tonight how he plays. Let's see tonight how the team looks. Are they cohesive and together? Or can you tell that there's something going on now within that group? This is a big game tonight. I look at it as a must-win game. The Rockets aren't going anywhere. This is not about who you're playing. This is about what you're playing for right now with 2 weeks to go in the season. All right, meanwhile, what are the Mavericks playing for at this point? They are now all of a sudden on the outside looking in. They lost a pair of games in Charlotte to the Hornets. To the Hornets. And
Alan,
Kyrie and Luka
were available. Would you like
to
change places, Alan? Would you like to go play for Kyrie?
Well, that's what we're going to get to here because, you know, fans are booing Kyrie. He got fans thrown out
already,
of the arena
already
because they called him out by name and booed him.
It's been a month.
They are 7-13 since they made the trade for him. And Luka has expressed being frustrated, looking frustrated. And Kyrie is already having enough with people asking what's wrong with the team.
And this is the second game that we played against Charlotte. And these are dangerous games, you know, in the season, because we're obviously playing for something. They're not playing for anything. And you can tell after they celebrate after the game, you know, the home crowd, you know, a little surprised too. You know, they're celebrating because they haven't had consistent flow throughout the season. But when they beat us, it's a big deal.
Really not. I was looking more for him saying.
Yeah, the fans can replace.
Yeah.
Well, somebody.
Like people, like that he doesn't like being booed. And feels like fans like don't know what it's like.
They should take the place.
He said, "Yes,
it's going to take them a long time."
Yeah, and that
a lot of hard work.
Right, you can't do what we do, and that fans shouldn't boo. How about this though? Luka said that sometimes I don't feel it's me. I'm just being out there. I used to have fun, but it's been frustrating.
No, he's not having fun.
Bad stuff happening there.
Well, you got to give Mark Cuban credit. It was a superstar available. He got him. At the worst case scenario, it's looking like Kyrie market won't be maybe Phoenix, because we know Chris Paul looks like he's him and Chris. I don't know who's fading faster, him or Alari, but we know that he probably won't be back next year, and that would be a logical spot for him to maybe try and link up with KD. But looking like right now that the Lakers may be the only place where, you know, the Mavericks can try and flip Kyrie and get something for him, because it's clear and obvious that it won't work out there in Dallas. So they do have an asset that they can trade and get something for. But I know Cuban made this move thinking that at least it would get them to the postseason. If they don't even get to the postseason, man, what are we doing?
Yeah, it's brutal. But just him, again, just carrying himself the way he carries himself.
Can't read
about
the room, man.
About the human element and that people can't relate to what you can't even do what we do out here. It's just, again, it's so off-putting.
He would say that even.
How are you a fan of a player like this that just talks down to you? How are you a fan of somebody that talks down to you like this?
This is the thing. Some of the people that's criticizing him are players that did what he did, right? So, like, now you're going to say the Charles Barkleys or the Shaquille O'Neals or the, you know, Greg Anthony's or the Vince Carter's. All of a sudden, they aren't qualified. So who is qualified? Only current players are qualified.
What I'm tired of is that he's always above reproach. Yeah. You can never hold him accountable, ever. He is never, ever going to be held accountable, ever.
My life is.
Has he ever apologized or said my bad with sincerity? Has he ever in his life, ever, just looked at a situation and said, I was wrong? Yeah, you know what he did? When he talked about his time with LeBron. And how he acted when he was a young player with LeBron and why he wanted out of there. And you know why he's doing that? Because he knows my way back to salvation is to join LeBron. More on LeBron later in the show. Meanwhile, college basketball. We have a Final Four, Bart Scott.
Women's or men's?
Well, both.
Why won't somebody sweep the legs on the Clark girl? Like, man, I would have gave her an L. It's going to let her go for 40.
Caitlin Clark?
He's going to let her go for
41.
40 and a triple-double.
She's amazing.
I would have took her out a long time ago.
But on the men's side of things, it's not really a lot of blue blood. There's UConn, Danny Hurley and company, and they look like they're set up to win the whole thing. They're there. But you've got, I mean, think of it. You've got San Diego State. You've got Florida Atlantic.
Yo, my boy, I told you.
And then Miami's
never been there.
Miami's a big-time school, but they've never been there. But the ending of the Creighton-San Diego State game came with some controversy because there was a call at the end that some people feel like it shouldn't have been called. Now, Darian Trammell, you know, driving up, the score is tied. He goes for a floater, and he gets fouled by Creighton's Ryan Nemhart. They call the foul. If you watch the replay, the hand's on the hip.
It's not even on the hip. It's on the hip, and he's holding his hip bone. Like, he got a nice little, like, you know how you guide somebody? You push them out, you grab their hip.
Right.
It was like an old hand check.
So he misses the floater, goes to the line, 1.2 seconds left, misses the first.
Doink.
But he hits the second, and the game pretty much is over. They win the game because the desperation at the end was a disaster. So let's hear from Seth Greenberg, who has been obviously following this tournament the whole way through. He gives us great coverage of this, of course, the former coach. And Seth Greenberg was adamant that they should have never called that foul.
A foul was redefined well into that game. A foul was redefined when that game started. All right, so if you redefine a foul in the last play of the game, you can't then just go flip and go back the other direction and say, oh, you know what, I'm going to call the absolutes. I'm going to call the absolutes. I'm going to call his hand was on his hip a little bit. It distracted the shooter. No, you can't make that call.
He's saying because the game was a physical game. There were only 22 fouls called total in the game. And the most games, there's 30-something fouls a game.
Okay.
So he's saying if you didn't call it early in the game, you can't call it there. And I disagree.
Me and you both, we finally agree on something today, Alan. Listen, not only did he have him, he guided him and pushed him away from the basket.
Yeah.
Like you can see
it's too critical of a play to not make the call.
You can see his body moving to the left as he's trying to raise up. And he
the hand is obviously there.
And he's restricting him from going all the way up to the to the apex of his jump.
It made him miss the shot.
Right.
Now, you could say, well, early in the game, that wasn't a foul. Well, you know what? Late in the game, that's a foul because you're impacting the finish to the game.
The ending of the game.
What you're saying is don't call it and let's go to overtime.
No.
And what I'm saying is you got to call it because that's a game-winning play.
Exactly.
He got into the paint. That's a floater. That wasn't a chuck and duck three.
Right.
That was a good move into the paint with an attempt to score.
Nice little 14-foot shot. And then when you shoot floaters like that, it just has to hit the front of the rim. A lot of times they find their way into the basket.
Now, Greg McDermott, who is the head coach at Creighton, he handled it the exact right way in the postgame.
No, I wasn't given an explanation. They just didn't think there was any time left. There was no call on the floor on whose ball it was. So I don't know. I'm not sure what they were reviewing. But I'm Pete, with all due respect, two teams played their tails off. Officiating's part of the game. We're not going to go there. We lost the game because we didn't do enough, and San Diego State did.
No excuses. Now, what he was referring to at the very beginning of the cut is that after the free throw's made, they have an inbounds from under the basket.
Yeah.
They throw a touchdown, a Hail Mary, basically down the court, which I don't think they needed to do. 1.2 seconds left. Threw it all the way down the length of the court. Couldn't catch it. Goes out of bounds. There should have been some time on the clock. But
yeah, because
there was confusion of wait, whose ball is what? They just ended the game. Like it just was, there was some confusion.
Because not until the ball is touched.
But he handled that.
Got touched.
Yeah, but he handled it the right way. What he said was no excuses. We didn't do enough.
At this point, he can't win. What are you going to do? They ain't going to change the outcome of the game. So you might as well go out on a high horse so people can praise you.
Exactly.
Say, oh, look at this coach stepping up. He ain't winning that. He went home. Say it!
Yeah.
He was like Trey and Boys in the Hood.
Hoops Update brought to you by new Jack Daniels and Coca-Cola. Jack Daniels and Coca-Cola is here. It's born for what's next. Born for a bolder taste. Jack Daniels and Coca-Cola. Born for this. Enjoy responsibly. All right, so again, we got the final four now. You got UConn and Miami, and then San Diego State and Florida Atlantic. One of those two teams. I mean, Florida Atlantic or San Diego State. It's going to be in the championship game.
You know what's funny? I was in Miami.
It's going to be in Houston next weekend.
I was in Miami last week, right? And I'm sitting down with my friend. His son's there, Jack Jr. I'm sitting here with his son, and he goes to FAU.
Oh,
and,
wow.
Well, he's committed to FAU. He's like, how excited was. He's like, Dad, can I come up? And his friend just got his pilot license. He's like 16. He's like, yo. He talking about like cross-country like flying. Like, and he's like, it's a cross-country considered 111 miles.
Okay.
Like, bro, that's like flying from here to Philadelphia. Bro, you ain't ready to fly no plane to damn New York. And the thing only go like 130 miles, like 110 miles. Like, bro, you won't get there in time. But his other son is already in college at Miami. So here they are. They live in Boca, and both of his sons' schools are going to the Final Four, and they've never been before.
Tremendous.
And, like, the mom is like – trying to figure out, like, oh, no, they play this week. Like, man, they only play if they get in the Final Four. Like, they ain't getting into the Final Four. And here we are a week later.
They should all be
in Houston. And they're in the Final Four. And they need to take a family trip. And the mom's going to have to console one son.
Well, they can play each other in the championship game. Think about that.
That's what I'm saying.
It's different. Now, most people, I have to ask this question as we wrap up Audio Files. I ask this question to you. Is the lack of the brand name. Now, UConn's a brand name.
Yeah, I bet.
Miami's a brand name, but in football, really.
Yeah.
Like, it's the first time they've gotten there. Jim Larranaga has done a great job there. But is the lack of the – because I think this is what's coming. The transfer portal, the older players.
You heard Boeheim.
Guys sticking around. Like, you're going to see mid-majors and non-traditional programs are going to have these older teams with guys who are like, you know what, I'm not getting any burn here. I want to play. And you go somewhere, and then you're playing against these, you know, one and done young teams, and you beat them up. Is this something you're all in on, or is it harder to get into a Final Four when you're like, who are these guys? I don't know anything about them. 800-919-3776. So we got that conversation with you, but also we do need to get into Bart. How the Yankees did the right thing. They did the right thing. I know.
almost like a Mets type of thing?
Well, let's not go that far. But they did the right thing, and maybe at least for a little bit, overshadowing some of the disappointment and frustration of a spring training that has been loaded with pitcher injuries.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Don't put your headphones on, but
I don't have to. I'm just listening to you straight up, baby.
Because you need to hear this.
You know what I'm saying?
You need to hear this.
I can hear it. He's loud as hell. I'm trying to be able to hear when I'm older, man. Huh?
Huh?
Nigel. Nigel. Huh? That Niagara kick hole yet?
I want you to hear this stuff. LeBron James returned to the lineup yesterday.
Oh my God.
No, come on.
I already know.
You love
Please.
LeBron.
Yo.
You love LeBron.
Can I preface it? This is the most arrogant, egotistical, the world revolves around me. Like, golly, bro. Can anybody else give you a compliment? Like, geez. Like, he went he goes full Roy Jones Jr. the third. Roy talking about. You is Roy. You can't, when you talking about you can't say Roy said. Man, play the damn clip. This is why certain people don't like.
So LeBron returned yesterday to the lineup. Remember, he had missed a lot of time due to the foot injury.
Yeah, how's the chemistry? Looked like crap yesterday.
And they thought he had a torn tendon in his right foot.
I heard a pop. You don't hear a pop.
And LeBron said that he consulted with with some people about it. He was told he needed to get surgery, but he chose not to get surgery and to come back after missing 13 games. Why would LeBron do that?
Did anyone ever suggest surgery?
Yeah, two doctors.
Why did you decide against it?
Because I went to LeBron James' feet, and he told me I shouldn't.
That's not even the most egotistical, narcissistic thing that he said.
I went to the LeBron James of feet.
Do you have the other clip?
I felt okay. Obviously, the rhythm is the most important. I had a couple drives and the ball got away from me. A couple shots didn't feel as good as before, obviously. But, I was out for 4 weeks. So between that and the wind, just got to get those things back leading to the final stretch of the season.
That's the other thing I have for you.
No, it was something else. It was even more egotistical when I was listening to it. Like, oh, my God.
There's more?
It's another one somewhere out there. And it was like, I'm like, come on, man. This is why people don't like you, bro. Like,
I think him revealing that he's supposed to, he was told to get surgery.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, I'm not going to do that.
You heard somebody else say about them German doctors too.
Mm.
But he said something else.
I think he's trying to eliminate all those, the excuses that people come up with him.
Yeah.
And he's saying, what are they going to say now? I'm playing through an injury that doctors told me needs surgery, but I'm not doing that to my team. By the way, they still lost the game. They lost to the Bulls.
Crap. And he was too little for Patrick Beverly.
Patrick Beverly also doing that was kind of funny.
Little.
Pat Bev just messing around. The thing is,
LeBron backwards turn, he never saw it.
No.
Until afterwards, and he's like, all right, Pat Bev. But this crazy, man.
But the Lakers are ninth in the West, but they still have a shot at sixth, but they're also, I think they're two from sixth and two from like 13th.
But here's the issue. When LeBrick Brick came back, all of a sudden Anthony Davis shots went down.
Yes,
and the team, it's almost like
he only took like eight shots.
Yeah, it's almost like, and I know he hurt his little pinky, but it's also a finger, whatever. But it's almost like Cooper Rush and Dak Prescott. The team looks much better when they go through Anthony Davis and the ball moves and everybody's included. When LeBron comes back, now nobody knows their roles.
Interesting.
And now it may be detrimental to them being able to win these couple of games because now they don't have flow. They don't have chemistry. And they had just hit their chemistry and Anthony Davis looked like him. And now he looks like lost because he doesn't get the touches and Ham isn't calling the plays for him, mm-mm, even though LeBron came off the bench.
Yeah.
It didn't look the same. And that could be detrimental to
them. But, AD was like that against the Knicks 2 weeks ago, too, in that Sunday night game. Like, for some reason, he was not – like, he could have easily taken over that game. Didn't. It's just like I said, a guy like him, man, he's just different.
Did you know he smelled Mitchell Robinson's breath? Like, whew. Well, no parts of that.
Yeah, it was more – I think it was Hardenstein. It was beating the crap out of him.
Breath smelled like a Ninja Turtle.
Who knows? All right, so we got hour number three coming up. We got lots to get to, including a reason for me to actually be happy – at the start of the Yankee season.
Do you have nice things?
I'm one of those people that I actually get mad at, which I am the perpetually pained fan.
Yeah.
the start of a season where I feel you can't enjoy anything.
You're the greenie of the Yankees.
That's probably the best way to put it. But there's something that I'm actually going to get to enjoy to start the baseball season, and I have Brian Cashman to thank for it. Maybe not him, but somebody made the right decision with the Yankees, and I'm excited about it.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.